You, Andrew and Madison. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to look at, now our key verse here is verse 12. Wherefore let him thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. But let's start up here at the verse number 1, pull a different truth out of it tonight. Just because this is, I told you when we started teaching on this, once again, what's the theme of the whole Bible study? As far as 1 Corinthians, these were the most divisive, flesh-driven, striving Christians in the New Testament. And by the time you read 2 Corinthians, they become some of the most spiritual in the New Testament. So this journey, it's kind of like God uses 1 Corinthians to teach a Christian, this is how you become a spiritual Christian. All right, so that's the overview. We're on a journey to learn how to be spiritual, okay? Well, then I told you when we hit chapter 10, there's a few chapters in the Bible that are so loaded, okay? And this is one of them that's going to refer to the Old Testament stories, and it's pulling a lot of truths into one, and it's trying to get you to focus on it. So watch this. Here we go. Verse 1 Corinthians 10:1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. So he's referencing the Bible 2,000 years before this is penned. Okay? Now here's what's interesting. There's no book that you'll ever read in your life that's this thick. I think I've read a lot of books, and I've never read a book as big as the Bible, as detailed as the Bible, as pure as the Bible. But isn't it wonderful? Every Christian that approaches this book, no matter whether they were saved with a background in religiosity, or if the first time you've ever heard anything about the Bible is when somebody came to your door to witness to you, isn't it interesting? If you come to this book with a want and a humble heart and a want to learn it, God will teach you. And the only reason people don't learn the Bible is because they don't want to. But anybody, as big as this book is, God will teach you his book. Amen? If you'll humble yourself and ask God, God, please. It is. It's huge. It's very intimidating. Amen? But it's God's book. And God wants you to learn it. But you got to want it. Amen? God won't force it on you, just like God didn't force you to get saved. Amen? So, I would not have you ignorant. And then, notice this word all, okay? I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat, verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. All. That means old to the youngest that left Egypt. He's referring back to Exodus, right? He said, health-wise, there were some that were very healthy. There were some that were very sickly when they left. There were all that were back there were saved a picture of salvation by grace through faith, regardless of whether they understood what was going on or not. How much does a child understand? How much does an adult understand? No, wait a second. Here's the picture. Everybody, regardless, top to bottom, rich, poor, none of them were rich, but they were the night they left. They spoiled the Egyptians, amen? God gave them some riches when they left. However, the whole gamut left by God's grace as a picture, they weren't saved, but as a picture of salvation and their faith. How does God save us? By grace through faith. Someone said, well, God saves by grace. Listen closely. Not if you don't put your faith in Christ. When they came out of Egypt, they had to have enough faith in what Moses told them to put the blood on the doorposts. Those were the only people that left Egypt that night. The people who believed what was told them, and then God delivered them by grace. So God saves by grace through faith. All right? By grace through faith. Now, the picture, this is going to lay a foundation for the truth here, and it says here, but watch this, All were delivered, verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. So everybody got delivered because they believed what was told them, and they were delivered by God's grace. Same power, regardless of what they knew or how much of God they knew. If they knew, you say, how come this is important? Because sometimes people, our evaluation of sin is not like God's evaluation of sin. We think, well, I haven't done this, this, and this, so I'm not as bad as other people. You're never supposed to compare yourself with other people. For God to save you, it took the same salvation and the same blood to wash away your sins that it did the rapist and murderer and thief. But we have a tendency to say, well, you know, God saved me, but God really saved them. No, God saved you the same. You were just as dead in trespasses and sins. The same power that God used to save a John Newton, a slave trader, right? And wrote Amazing Grace, right? He said, oh, I don't remember. He said, all I remember is what a sinner I was and what a savior he is. Amen. That's the guy that wrote Amazing Grace. Took to set whether you were a John Newton or, here we go, praise God for a Christian home and being raised in a Christian school, right? If you're homeschooled, amen. But sometimes the tendency can be, well, you know, I needed a little help, but they needed God's grace. No, all of us needed God's salvation, amen? The same, and that's why we have a tendency to say this sin is worse than this sin, and this sin is, you know, and God doesn't do that. Because let me show you, God says with many of them, God was not well pleased. And look at verse number 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And we learned what they were lusting after was just what they wanted. I'm living my life. That's me time. I do what I want. It's my life. It's what I want to do. And self, boy, can't we do that in America? It's what I want. Never, you know, never asking what God, but they lusted after evil things. Verse 7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. So here, the idol, yes, it was the golden calf, but it was their entertainment and their pleasure, right? They sat down to eat and rose up to play. It's just, you know, we're entertaining ourselves to death in America. Here, that's the idol, all right? Look at verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. So when Balak and Balaam got the Midianite women to go into the camp and the immorality, and God killed 23,000 people, 23,000 Jews in one day for their fornication. He's saying, learn from those lessons now. Verse number 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the serpent, of the destroyer. And then it says here, all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Notice verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. He doesn't say, let him that thinks he's about ready to fall and get out of Christianity take heed. He's saying, those of you that think you're standing straight, you're standing, you're going to make it, you're the ones that need to be careful. You're the ones that need to take the warning. Because when we look at the list of sins, people would go, lusting after evil things? Come on, preacher. Okay, we'll check that one off. What's the next one? Idolatry? Come on, I'm not carving stuff out and worshiping it. No, it's some pagan heathen. All right, we'll check idolatry off. Okay, then fornication? Come on, preacher. I'm stayed true to my wife, and I'm... Okay, we'll check that one off. And what's the next one? Tempt Christ? I've never shaken my fist at God and say, God, show yourself and prove this. Okay, we'll check that one. But look at the Verse 10. Neither murmur. How's your whining? How's your complaining? See, here's the whole catch. In verse 12, it says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. He said, if you do not control your mouth, you are prone to the other things if you don't bring it into control. If you can do the one, you can do the other. It's just like, who is that golf player? Woods. Tiger Woods. Whenever he would hit the ball, and he was a good golfer, obviously, he would never say praise the Lord. But whenever he did a bad hit, he would always cuss God openly. Well, when it finally came out, you know, he's immoral and, you know, he's been unfaithful to his wife and all that. When you look at the Ten Commandments, God says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. Up above there, it said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I'm sure he said worse, but if you're walking around all day, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, that same person that'll take God's name in vain will steal. And it should be no shocker that he spoiled his money on riotous living and was an unfaithful whoremonger. Okay? You say, why? His life showed that when he was out in the open. He would cuss God openly. Okay? That's an illustration. If he would do the one, he would do the others. And here in this list, lusting after evil things, idolatry, fornication, all of that, he says the murmuring is what you need to watch. Because if you will fall there, you will fall in the other places. Now, here, think with me just for a second. Complaining is so natural. And our society is built on criticism and negative and being, I mean, just the, here, leave your comment below. You know, here, what's your opinion? Well, if you're doing what's right, why should anybody's opinion matter? Right? But nowadays in this internet world, put your opinion down below. Tell us what you think. Okay? But our society is filled with critics now. It's filled with, you know, nobody thinks whether, you know, it's positive or negative. It's a lot of negative stuff. Our society's built off of it. And when you think in the Bible, what was the one sin that caused God to tell Moses, you know, Moses, I'm just going to kill everybody and start over with you. What do you think? And he said, no, God, don't do that, because then, you know, that'll get you a bad name and all that. And I think God knew what he was going to say. But when God said, I think I'm just going to kill him, what was the one sin that caused God to come to that conclusion? Murmuring. They complained, you can look it up, in the book of Exodus, they complained 14 times. 14 times. And finally, God just said, that's it. Now, as a matter of fact, if you look up the word murmur, it's found 7 times in the book of Exodus. Of course, they complained and they did other things, but the word murmur is found 7. Look, their complaining started before they were delivered. Remember in Exodus chapter 5, when Moses goes to Pharaoh and he says, let my people go. And they took the straw out of the brick making, right? They said, they got too much time on their hands. Take the straw out. Then they were like, they came to Moses. Bah, 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 you know, who are you and how come you're doing this? And you just made our life harder and you said you're here to deliver us. Their complaining started before they ever left Egypt, right? Then they come to the Red Sea and Pharaoh's armies behind them. And Moses, what are you going to do? We're going to die. The complaining, it never stopped. And then here we go. If you want to kind of I'm trying to, in Exodus 15, the water didn't taste good. So they complained. Then in Exodus 15, they got hungry. Okay, here's what's absolutely amazing. God rained bread. Remember, 15 car trainfuls of food every morning to feed 3 million people. And 15 train cars of quail every night worth came from the sky, dropped down, and that's what God fed them with, meat at night and manna for 40 years. We're thirsty, and the rock that followed them with Christ, right? So every day, if it takes you, you know, in that type of heat, they say a gallon a day is what it takes to live. I would think in that kind of heat, probably 2 gallons a day. Amen. Plus, they had to have water for their animals. So that rock that followed them that we read about in 1 Corinthians 10, that let out, let's just say, 6 million gallons of water a day. And then it would follow them wherever God led. Then it would let out 6 million gallons of water the next day. And then it would follow them. It said that rock was Christ, right? He's the living water. And so that's an Old Testament picture. So that's kind of interesting. They got thirsty. We're thirsty. We're hungry. Yet God's feeding them. And they're complaining. Then, when you read Exodus 17, they got thirsty. And they started complaining against God and against Moses. Then, in Numbers 11, they started lusting after flesh. We're tired of this. I mean, okay, you've been a slave for 460 years. And then you get delivered. Your safety's taken care of. Your clothes are taken care of. Your food's taken care of. Your water's taken care of. All of it. And you still complain? Yeah, I think I would have gotten worn kind of thin too. Amen. So as you read Exodus and as they're going through the wilderness, they're complaining about the flesh that they have to eat. We wish we were back in Egypt. Then in Numbers 14, this is amazing. That's when they sent in the spies, right? God was excited to show them the land. And so Joshua and Caleb and 10 others go in. And in Numbers 14, they look at it. They said, there's giants there. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And they started believing. They feared battles that they would never have to fight. God said, I'll take care of the giants. I'll take care of all that. They've got chariots of iron. They've got, and it's a lot like us. Okay. I know I gave you a negative report tonight on Washington, D.C. All right. It's probably a little more negative than it usually is. Well, did you hear what they're doing in Washington? I know it's a mess. Amen. I think the system's broke. Okay. I think it's gross up there, but I think you need to pray. Amen. I think you need to ask God's help. Amen. That never hurts. But why would you trust reports from people on the internet that you'll never meet about things you'll never see more than you would trust God's report, God's word? Amen. It's a good thought. Well, yeah, but they said, there's so much stupid stuff that happened last week. But anyways, well, this is what they said. I know, but why does somebody else's report matter to you more than God's report? That's just like them going into the land, fearing things that would never take place and never did take place in Numbers 14. Then, okay, I'm going through the list here and we will look at one in just a second. Then in Numbers 16, Korah complains about Moses and the Lord kills Korah, right? And the earth opens him up and Korah and his whole band gets a straight, direct ticket to hell. God opens up the earth and then closes it. And what do the people do? That was too hard. Moses is too mean. That shouldn't. I mean, if God removed someone that was going to mess it all up. Amen. So God kills Korah and his family. And then the people, that's too hard. That's too serious. I mean, the complaining never stops. Okay, now let's look at one. Go to Numbers 21. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Fourth book in your Bible. Watch this. Numbers chapter 21. Okay, and watch this. Here we go. Look at verse 4. All right. It says verse 4, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. Watch. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. So now they're upset. Wait, all you got to do is follow this. Now they're upset that they're wandering in the wilderness. But that wasn't God's path. That's what they chose. They chose to not trust God. And they chose this way. God said, it's not my fault. I didn't. in 6 weeks, I had you going from Egypt to the promised land. Could have made that trip in 6 weeks, but because you're complaining and you don't want to trust me and you don't want to believe my word, 40 years. 6 weeks to 40 years. Now, they're in the wilderness, and they're...
Why are we going in circles?
Everybody see, the complaining never stops, right? It never stops. Here we go. Verse number 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread. Remember, they're getting it every morning. What do you mean there's no bread? Then they say, there neither is there any water. And we learned in 1 Corinthians 10, where they're getting their water every day is a picture of who? Jesus. They're basically saying, there's no water. They're saying, I'm tired of Jesus. I'm tired. It's just like Christians. If they want entertainment and they're wanting more of a thrill, they start complaining, church is boring. The Christian life is boring. And that wait a second. That was your choice. That wasn't God's choice. Amen. You gave yourself to other things other than the Lord. So yeah, God's going to be boring. He's going to get whatever's left. Here, there's no water. All right. And then watch this. And our soul loatheth this light bread. So I think they finally realized, yeah, I guess we are getting manna in the morning, but I just don't like it. Everybody see the complaining? Okay. Now watch this. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. So God sent snakes.
Yeah.
To bite everybody that was complaining. All right. Here we go. Keep on reading. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Snakes would make me do that too. We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. And set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Isn't that amazing? So God's cure was a likeness of what was killing them, right? Snakes. So God took the likeness of the snake, put it on a pole, right? Had Moses put it on a pole in what metal? Brass, which is a picture of what in your Bible? Judgment, right? Gold is a picture of divinity. Silver is a picture of redemption. Brass is a picture of judgment. So God judged the people, and God said, Moses, make a serpent, put it on a pole, which is, have you all seen the medical symbol that's on doctors' things? All comes from the Bible. That serpent. They got two serpents, right? Remember the two heads there? It's normally on most doctors' doors and stuff like that. I can't remember what they call it now. The seal, not the seal, but the, at any rate, I think you know what I'm talking about. They get that from the Bible. And so God said, to heal, you have to look at a likeness of what's killing you, and you have to have enough faith, because I'm sure there were some people that were bitten, and I'm sure the child came in and said, Daddy, you know, and the swelling and all of that, and the breathing starts getting hard as the neurotoxin, I mean, all this stuff that happens with snake bites. And I'm sure the little kid's going, Daddy, just look at the pole. Just look at the serpent. Moses said, all you got to do is look. Like all you have to do to be saved is what? Look to Jesus, right? And I'm sure there were some people going, that's stupid. Look at a pole. Look at, that's all he said you have to do. You had to have enough faith to do what was told. Amen? To look at a likeness. Now, that is Numbers 21's picture. Go to John chapter 3. And Jesus taught us about that pole. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 3. Of course, verse 16. I hope everybody knows John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look back at two verses up. Look at John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So, Numbers 21. People bitten by snakes, brass serpent put on a pole, have enough faith to look to the serpent of brass and you'll be healed. Jesus uses that illustration 2,000 years later, and he said, when I'm lifted up, I came in your likeness yet without sin, in a body yet without sin. And when he was put on that cross, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So he said, if you have enough faith to look to the Lamb of God, like the song in the hymn book, look to the Lamb of God, look to the Lamb of God, right? For he alone is able to save you, look to the Lamb. So John chapter 3 references Numbers 21 as a picture of salvation. All you have to do to be saved is look to the Lamb of God, just like they looked at the serpent, okay? Now, in 1 Corinthians 10, where we started tonight, go there. I think you're going to enjoy this. Keep in mind what the whole picture here is. They're written for our ensamples. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So, John 3 uses Numbers 21 as a picture of salvation. But now that you're saved, 1 Corinthians 10 uses Numbers 21 to say this. Ready? If you don't keep your eyes on the cross, you're going to fall. You're going to start to complain. If there's so much in the Christian life, which is just a beautiful picture of how much just staying thankful you're saved takes care of so many things. It doesn't make us sinless. It doesn't make us perfect. But it's amazing how it kind of repels. Look, watch this. Let's take, if you start murmuring, okay, about your church, man, I can't, man, why are you doing this? And boy, I tell you what about my church. You know what? Eventually, keep complaining, and you're going to end up in another one. Another one is going to become more attractive because you're not thankful for where you're at. Here, let's use something else. If you don't quit complaining about your spouse, it leaves you open for temptation with another one that doesn't belong to you. Well, my wife, she doesn't do this. She can't do this. She can't, if you don't quit complaining and start thanking God for what God has given you, it's going to leave you vulnerable. Same thing for the wife. If she doesn't quit complaining about her husband, it's going to what? Leave her open for temptation. That's what he's saying here in 1 Corinthians 10. If you don't, now that you're saved, you've looked to the Lamb of God for salvation. Now you know what you need to do? Keep looking to Jesus and thanking God you're saved so you don't complain. Because when you start complaining is when you'll fall. Wouldn't it be nice to know whenever we get critical, whenever we get negative, look, that's why thankfulness, they call thankfulness, Lester Roloff used to say, praising God and thanking God is a lubricant in life and just helps everything go smoothly, good times and bad times. So if you get a flat tire, praise God. You say, why? You're going to have to change the tire. Might as well change it singing Amazing Grace. Amen. Instead of, whoa, just me. Whoa. You're going to change the tire. Watch this. Training yourself, not forcibly, but making yourself be thankful helps life. They're saying it helps the mind. It helps your blood. Isn't that interesting? Being thankful, and you're the only one that decides whether you're that way. Here, he said, if you don't keep your perspective on that cross, that Jesus died, if you lose track of the fact that God would die someone for someone like you, you're going to start complaining. And then all of the other sins you become more susceptible to. What a lesson. Tonight, he said, once again, the warning is not to those that are about ready to fall. The warning is for those that are so proud, they think, I've been in church a long time. Nothing could... Careful. Well, I would never... Careful. Oh, well, I wouldn't do it. Don't ever say that. You're just as susceptible as everybody. That him that thinks he's standing. Take heed. Be careful. Checklist. Make sure you're thanking God. Make sure you're keeping your eyes on Jesus. I'll say it again. It is amazing how much just praising God that he would save you. It just feels good to where when you're by yourself, just to say, thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, that I'll never die and go to hell. Thank you, God, that my sins are all gone. Thank you. That ought to happen sometime every day. Keeping your eyes on the cross. Keeping your perspective right. Amen. Here, let's finish with verse 13 and 14. Well, it says here, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Run. Run from it. If you went out to your car and there was a serpent wrapped around... Now everybody's going to be going, what? But if there was a serpent on the steering wheel and a serpent on the brake pedal, yeah, I'd run. Yeah. I think maybe even like Caitlin might even drop over dead. You know what I mean? You know what our problem is? Is we don't run. We don't run. And it says, when you see murmuring, when you see complaining, know that other sins are becoming more available. Because if you'll do one, see, the very fact that God told you, thou shalt not kill, it means you're capable of murder. We're all capable. If you don't keep yourself in check, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet. God said, you're capable of all of it. You better keep yourself in check. And it starts with, isn't it interesting? The small member of the body, James chapter 3, the helm steers the whole ship. It's this. If you can control this, it keeps you clear of other dangers. Learning, you know what? You could either take the lesson and do it this way. If I'm not going to murmur, I need to work at praising God. I need to work at being thankful. Nobody in here is too thankful. Well, I just don't want to be too thankful, Pastor. Look, if you ever do, we'll let you know. Amen. Nobody here is close to that yet. Amen. All of us have to. And I just, as far as the lesson tonight, I know as far as I work my way through it, but focusing on that murmuring, because everybody goes, oh, I don't do the others. Okay. How's your whining? How's your complaining? How's your murmuring? Because keep in mind, that's the one sin that Israel did. They only committed idolatry one time. In 40 years, they worshiped the golden calf, and then after God killed a bunch of them, they never did idolatry again. They only lusted after evil things one time, and then God judged them. They only, the serpent thing, right? Numbers 21, that happened once. The murmuring, it happened 14 times. And that was the one sin that God said, you know, I think I'm going to start over. And we all know he didn't. But it is interesting. Complaining angers God because we have so much to be thankful for. But it takes work. Nobody's naturally thankful. Oh, I thank God all the time. I just praise God, zippity-doo-dah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. No, you don't. It's you train yourself to be thankful. You make yourself and the blessings God uses. I hope this is a help. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth. I know this was a lot tonight, but Lord, please, I ask that, Lord, you would help us to keep our eyes on you, to be thankful for all that you've done. And we have so much to praise you for. Lord, please bless these people. Help us, Lord, as the world goes crazy. There'll always be things to complain about and things that we've never seen before. Father, help us, please, to keep our eyes on you and to love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a short altar call. Let's all stand. The piano's going to play.